Oh, yeah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. That was great. We're going to have church on Wednesday night, I reckon. I enjoyed that, man. That was awesome. It's a simple song, but one thing about it, that there's one line that really just gets me about that song when it says, "Burn like a fire." You think about that. That's intense. And that's what I want. That's the kind of relationship that I want with the Lord. I want it to be burning, piping hot, white hot. Y'all ever had a fire so hot that down in the middle it just turned white? That's a hot fire. I almost just want to preach Sunday's message because I'm here to tell y'all what. If y'all are here Sunday, if the Lord keeps blessing that, it's going to be a good one. I'm talking about Paul gets excited in those first three verses of Philippians. And he points to Jesus. And if it ain't all on him, Sunday we're going to have an opportunity to make it all about him. Amen. And that's where it needs to be. Amen. I get sideways. I try to make it about Philip. I'm always trying to make it about Philip. It ain't about Philip. It's about Jesus. But you have to wait to Sunday, I reckon, to get that. Tonight we're talking about signs. So the title of tonight's message is The Danger of Looking for Signs, and you can turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13, if you have your copy of God's Word with you, Deuteronomy chapter 13. We're going to be verses 1 through 5. Three weeks ago and prior, I wouldn't have thought that a message about signs would have been necessary. It's not something that I'm naturally drawn to. And I really felt like that I was in the majority on that, and that few people probably did, until I had a phone call that completely changed my mind. I had a phone call from a new believer. Did not come from a family of believers. He's the first one. Was not raised in church, but the Lord called him, and he has placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, given his life to him. And he works in one of those environments, men. You know the environment I'm talking about where there's nobody's talking about Jesus and nobody wants to talk about Jesus. So he doesn't have support at home, and then he goes to work and he doesn't have support. His whole friend group was made up of his unbelieving time. So it's like this man is on an island by himself. And so for 4 weeks, he's been in turmoil. We're having this conversation. He says, "I've just been asking God for a sign so that I can know that God's real." And I went, "Whoa, wait a minute, that just didn't sound right." Now, I hadn't been studying this, and I didn't have a lot to give him, but immediately something in my spirit, I trust that it's the Holy Spirit, just gave me pause. And said, that ain't right. The direction he's going in the wrong direction. But God gave me this in the moment, again, pre-study. I said, "Do you have the sign of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you?" That's a pretty good sign that you're saved, because that's what he's wrestling with. Am I really saved? I said, "Are you thinking different? Are you drawn to Jesus's ways? Are you talking different? Are you wanting to do different?" Yeah, I've never wanted to do these things, and I want to do them. I said, "That's a good sign that the Holy Spirit is indwelling in you as a believer, and he's working these things out. I don't know what you need apart from that sign, but what I call you to is to really focus on that sign that God has already given you, that you are his child, and that you do not need to worry about your salvation." If you're in my camp and signs are not significant to you, you're not out there looking for signs, this is still a message for you, because you may be going to have one of those phone calls very soon. And this message tonight, this text, can help prepare you for that phone call, to help somebody work through that they should stop looking for signs. And if you are a person that commonly looks for signs to prove God, to prove your faith, I'm not speaking down to you, but what I would encourage you to do is really look at this text and think about your future direction. We slow down for flashing lights. We watch videos about ghosts, Bigfoot, Black Panthers, miracles, trips to heaven. We love it. We love the mysterious. We love the unexplainable. We're drawn to it. We get fascinated by it. But should Christians, true followers of Christ, be building our faith upon signs and the mysterious? God can still work in powerful ways. I'm not saying he can do whatever he wants to do. Y'all know I believe that. God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do. And he don't ask me about it. But from what I've studied, he's never going to ask us to trust a miraculous sign over his word. He's never going to ask us to look at some wonders and put our faith in that over his son Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So let's look at the danger of looking only to signs and hopefully avoid any potential deception. We start with a sobering truth. Signs can become tests. I have a hard time saying that word. Can I spell it out? T-E-S-T-S. Let's read verses 1 through 3 together. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true, underline that, comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That right there, preach alone. Not every supernatural experience points people towards God. The Bible says the sign in this passage actually came true. So we have a false prophet. The false prophet prophesies that a sign is going to come true, and that sign came true. This is a very disturbing situation. The miracle happened, but it was a test from God. It was not a faith builder. God was testing whether their loyalty to him outweighed in the balance their attraction to the supernatural. Which one do you love more, God or a supernatural miracle? A question for all of us this evening: would you still follow God if there were no signs at all? I'm in. I don't need another sign. And if you're not in, I want to encourage you to get in with the no sign crew. The book of Job, y'all remember that? Job lost everything. Was he sitting there begging God for a sign the whole time he was enduring that punishment? Nope. He trusted God without demanding signs. Let's go to Matthew 16:4 and see what Jesus said about it. An evil and adulterous generation, neither one of those are positive, by the way, seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except for the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away. Another powerful example in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 29. Thomas wanted proof, but Jesus said, blessed are they who did not see yet believed. Unfortunately, we have some out there who hop from YouTube prophet to conspiracy preacher to God told me personalities. These people are addicted to the mystery instead of the maturity. Every week, they need another sign, another prediction, another emotional experience. And when they do that, Scripture takes a further and a further and a further backseat in their life. We've got to stop treating feelings like the final authority. Test everything by Scripture. Start with me. I invite you. I encourage you. Start with me. Test what I say by the Word of God. Do not take me at my word. I am a human being who makes errors. You should test what I say by the very Word of God. Had a conversation with a new believer yesterday. You would not believe the misleading that this man has endured in his life. Another man who is a first-generation Christian, has no background. We're so blessed. Y'all realize that? We are so blessed. This man is from a whole other, he's from the United States, a whole other part of the country. People that don't talk like us. And he recounted details of, I went to this church and this is what he said. What do you think about that? I said, oh, Lord, bless him. I went over here and this preacher said this. I said, oh, Lord, are you kidding me? Are you making this stuff up? No, I'm just telling you what happened. I said, brother, we got to get you in a Bible-believing church. Because where you're going and what you're telling about, they ain't preaching the Bible. They ain't believing in the Bible. I said, here's the only thing you can do. I said, I can kind of do a look. I can do some network and try to find you a church in your area that preaches the Bible. I said, but that's not even the final thing that you've got to do. The only stop gate, the words have left me, but the only thing that we need to have is the Word of God. And if you don't have the Word of God, it don't matter how good of a preacher he was. It don't matter how much authority that church had or validity that church had. Even those have to be taken back to the very Word of God. Amen. It has to be measured right there. If you tend to lean towards signs, one thing you can ask is, does this sign lead me closer to Jesus? Or further away? Logically, is God ever going to give you a sign that leads you away from Him? I just can't see that happening. And be more impressed with holiness than hype. We love hype these days. All people can talk about is the aliens. I don't know about the aliens. I don't care about the aliens. I don't want to get caught up in the hype. When I get caught up in the hype, my mind goes away from what? The truth. A miracle is not proof of truth if it leads you away from God. And here's another thing. I believe Satan would rather fascinate you than frighten you. I'm going to say that one more time because that was good. I believe Satan would rather fascinate you than frighten you. Because what are you going to do when you're frightened? Run away. He just wants to create your wonders in your eyes, and you'll stand there like a bug that goes into one of them lights in the summertime. That's what you'll be doing, what I'll be doing. Some people are so busy chasing signs today that they miss the Savior. We don't need more revelation. We need to respond to what God's already revealed. That's a good place for an amen. So if the signs can mislead us, what has God actually told us to do instead? He gave us some alternatives. Amen. I love alternatives. And these are pretty chewable, if you will. Look at verse 4. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear Him. And you shall keep His commandments, listen to His voice, serve Him, cling to Him. Lord, if we did this, we ain't got time for signs. Do we? If we were about this every day, how much time would we have to be staring up at the sky? God's will is not hidden. It's relational. It's revealed. Look at it. Follow him, fear him, obey him, listen to him, serve him, cling to him. And these are throughout the Bible. This isn't a one-off. Front to back. Most Christians are asking God for signs about things he already spoke about. But you know why we're asking about signs he already spoke about or things he already spoke about? Because we ain't cracked this. You want to talk to God? He's available 24/7. I know y'all get tired of hearing about it. And the Wednesday crew, y'all probably hear more than anybody else. I know y'all are getting the dose of it. I don't know if I can stress the importance of getting in this thing methodically every single day. If you're not doing it, please start. Pray. Read. Ask God. Get simple. Jesus, I'm about to read your word. I need your help to understand it. Amen. And start reading it. Y'all tired of hearing it? I'm going to say it again. I don't care. I don't care if you get tired of hearing it or not. I'm going to say that again. That's coming up again. Maybe this Sunday. People say, Lord, give me a sign. Meanwhile, God says, I've already gave you scripture. How many more signs do we need? How many more times has God got to prove himself? I'm in Exodus, so this is kind of near and dear to my heart in my daily readings. Have mercy. But here's the thing. He delivers them across dry ground like this carpet. Water on both sides. They walk through that after seeing all the plagues of Egypt. I don't think they're 3 days on the other side of dry ground and they start complaining they ain't got nothing to drink. Well, is God going to dehydrate us and kill us out here? Really? 3 days ago, you just walked through the middle of an ocean. You think he brought you out here to kill you now? I think it'd been a lot easier just to kill you when you were walking through the ocean. But that's human. That's us. That's me. We're just a couple of days away from the last big thing that God did, and we're wondering if he's still around. The book of Joshua 1:8, of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua succeeded not by chasing signs. You know how Joshua succeeded? By obeying God's word. Let's read it together. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. Remember what I just talked about? I'm not crazy. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. We want to prosper. We want to have success. I know you all do. I do too. Well, here's the key. What's the key to prosperity and success? True prosperity and success. Not zeros and commas. Meditating on the Word of God and doing it day and night. If you're not being successful and you're not prosperous, I would go back to the first part and determine, are you handling the business of the first part? That maybe answer the problem with the second part. Be careful to do, then you will have success. It's like your child ignoring everything you said. Parents in here? It's like your child ignoring everything you said while constantly asking for new instructions. Clean your room. Be respectful. Tell the truth. But instead, Dad, I'm going to need another sign to be respectful. I'm going to need you to perform a sign for me to go in there and clean my room. What are you going to do? I'll give you a sign, all right, on that backside. That'll be your sign, and you can get in there and get it cleaned up. Why should we expect God to just treat us someplace different? Why would God give deeper direction to someone ignoring the direction he already gave? Some of us want to grow deeper. We want to grow deeper in our spiritual walk. I want to grow closer to God. Great! Great! I do too. But if we're not handling the first part, how are we ever going to go deeper? One other person in here got to experience this yesterday. I love for my kids to pray. I want them to be confident to pray in front of other people as well. So I've always encouraged them at home, you know, pray for the meal, before the meal or whatever. Well, yesterday we were out at the Mac Shack. We love to go to the Mac Shack. And before we got our food, I said, Virginia, would you pray for us? Yeah. She snaps right into prayer. She prayed for every person under the sun except for the food. I'm talking about everything. Pray for things I didn't even know need praying for. Amen. I said, we got to bow our heads again. I'm not trying to be a fundamentalist, but we were praying for food, asking, telling God, thank you for this food. Oh, yeah. And thank you, Lord, for this food. Now, that sounds very simple to you guys, but what you don't know is I have told Virginia, I don't know how many times, baby, when you pray, and I'm not trying to be that dad, but hear me out. Don't throw rocks at me yet. I said, baby, when you pray, let's lead with kind of the most important thing. I said, when you say, dear Lord Jesus, follow that with thank you for this food that you provided, and then you can go pray for whatever you want to. And we've got it covered, the purpose that we're here. And she said, after she done that, she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I keep forgetting to do that. I said, well, here's what you need to do. When you start the prayer, start with Jesus. Thank you for this food. And then you'll have that out of the way. It doesn't change. The instructions don't change. Why do they not change? Because they're good instructions. What's the problem? She ain't listening. She's just like her daddy. Don't you think God does the same thing? Philip. How many times have I got to tell you not to do it? I can't tell you another way. Stop doing that. God's instructions aren't going to change. We're the ones that's got to change. Follow the Lord. So ask daily, what would honor Christ today? And then follow that. Fear Him. I know that's a sticking point. People don't like to say fear God. They don't like I don't know what they don't like about that. I don't have a problem with fearing God. And I'm not saying you're paralyzed. But we need to fear God. He's worth fearing. I bet if we could get a glimpse of Him, we wouldn't have to worry about it no more. That fear would be right there where it needed to be. Now, I do, again, fear is fear, but I do lean towards it's a deep reverence and respect. Not paralysis where you can't move. Keep His commandments. Obey them when they're inconvenient. Stop negotiating with clear commands. Listen to His voice. Sorry, dead horse. Read Scripture daily. Multiple daily. And then cling to Him. Stay close to Him during pain. Stay close to Him during suffering. And never run to idols for comfort. Now that sounds crazy to us today, doesn't it? Run to an idol? Well, I ain't got no statue at the house. I ain't got a shrine built to so-and-so. Idols are not limited to concrete. Idols are not limited to structures. We can make an idol out of anything. It's anything that gets your heart. Anything except for God. God's will is already written down. Don't desire spectacular direction while ignoring simple obedience. We don't need another sign to obey. We need to remember the last thing God said. We end on a key application that promotes a strong relationship with God. Purge the seducer. Let's read verse 5 together. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Why? Because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among you. God takes rebellion seriously because rebellion destroys people. Y'all remember when that group of folks rebelled against Moses out there in the desert? God opened up the ground and swallowed about 10,000 of them right there. God don't play with rebellion. So if that's something that that's in your heart and mind that you're thinking about, I wouldn't do that. False teaching is dangerous because it slowly pulls hearts away from God. The text says that the false prophet was trying to seduce people away from the Lord. That word matters, seduction. Sin rarely drags people instantly. In my life, my experience, I can attest to this, it seduces us gradually. The slow pull, the slide, as we've talked about. Rarely does anybody start by abandoning God completely. It starts with skipping prayer. I ain't got time today. I'm busy. God knows that I'm busy. I don't have time to stop and do that, so I'll handle that tomorrow. Doesn't seem like a big deal, but sometimes that's where it starts. Then skipping church. We're busy. We're busy. We got these things. I was up late last night. I've got plans right after. I was there last Sunday. I don't have to go. And hear me say this. The fact that you gathered at a building is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that you made your way to Blount Springs, bricks and mortar, and you walked through the front door and you sat in a pew. What I'm talking about is you didn't dedicate a day, a time to worship a living God for all that He has done for you. A time to sing His praises, a time to pray to Him, a time to be around other believers and be strengthened, a time to hear the Word of God preached. The word church, I almost don't even want to use it anymore because I don't even know what it means. What does it mean when somebody says, I went to church? I don't know. That's why I break it down. When I'm having a conversation with somebody, when I'm really trying to get to the heart of the matter, I break it down to the individual elements of worship. Amen. Because, and y'all, I'm telling y'all, y'all are going to love Sunday. Y'all are going to love it. If our goal week in and week out is to have our pulse in this pew for a designated amount of time and then walk away, I'm not going to tell you that you should just stay at the house. I'm not, because that's not my place. But I don't know what you've got in here. And I think the purpose to come here is to get something. Amen? Amen. Again, I didn't tell y'all to stay at the house. Just, I don't want anybody to misquote me on that. Because I love it when you're here. And I love that y'all are all here tonight. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I started to lead with that. We talked about skipping church. Then you can compromise privately with those little sins that nobody else is going to know but you. And then you get comfortable with those little sins. And eventually, you wake up and you look around and you don't even know where you're at anymore. I've lived that. I'm warning you from something that is very real. I woke up one day and literally, I had no idea where I was at anymore. I had no idea who I was anymore. I had no idea what I had been doing. I had no idea how I got there. But literally, the slide was so gradual. But the crazy part is, if you will ride it and ride it and ride it, you will eventually land at a place that you do not want to be. I promise you. I'll attest and testify to that today. I don't want you to go. Sorry if I'm a little bit passionate about it, but I don't want you to go. It's a place I never want to go back to. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, believers publicly destroyed sinful objects when they turned to Jesus Christ. This is a beautiful picture. This needs to be done in the United States yesterday. Acts 19:19, and many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Don't look at that as insignificant. How many pieces of silver did Judas get for selling Jesus? What did I just say? 50,000. A fortune. You think they believed in Jesus? You think they were convicted of their sin? Ultimately, at the bottom line, they removed what competed with God. We need to start removing things that compete with God. What have you allowed in your life that is slowly pulling your heart away from God? That's an idol. What idols need to be removed from your life? We cannot execute false prophets today. I just don't think our government's going to let us get away with it. I don't see how that's going to happen if we just took things into our own hands and was like, hey, look, we got 7 or 8 people that really say that this guy's a false prophet, so we're going to just get him out of here. I'm pretty sure we'd all be in federal prison if we started doing that. They'd have a documentary, The Blunt Springs Crazy People. But again, I'm in Exodus this morning. I don't know what chapter. Let me tell you. I'll give you a little reference. I got my marker right here. Y'all, if y'all haven't read the law in a while, I encourage you to go back. In Exodus, starting at Exodus 20 and 21, they had permission to smoke people all the time. They had somebody that was out of God's commandments, out of God's ways, I just kill them. Eradicate them, purge them. Again, I'm not supporting that. Today, it's very different. All I'm trying to say is God don't play. But I think I've been guilty of this. Sometimes I think God plays. All right, so we need to purge false teaching, sinful influences, compromising entertainment, toxic relationships, secret sin, bitterness, men and some women, pornography, it's a problem. Pride, spiritual laziness, just to name a few. How can we do it? One thing that I think would absolutely help me and a lot of people in here tonight, online, unfollow corrupt influences. If you've got somebody that you're following online, if you've got this favorite person on Netflix or this show, and it is constantly causing you to compromise, unfollow. Get away from it. Get it out from front of your eyes and your ears. We need to confess hidden sin, because no matter how good you are at hiding it, guess who you cannot hide it from? You ain't hiding it from God. Cut off temptation. If there's something that is constantly tempting you, get it out of your life. Get away from it. Don't keep it around. Listen. Confession time. You bring Takis into my house, they eat. I don't care how many times I tell myself I'm not going to eat Takis. They just can't be good for you. Have you ever looked at your fingers after you eat them? I mean, they are as red as Ray's shirt. There's so much red dye in them, I'm sure I'm a worse person from eating them. And they got so much salt. I mean, I look like the next day, I keep telling myself, but if that beautiful lady in the orange shirt right there buys a bag of Takis and put them in our cabinet, guess who? Guess what's going to happen? You're going to think you've got a rat in the cabinet, boy. I'm telling you. Same thing with real temptation. I'm not saying that's not a real temptation. It is a real temptation, but like significantly God problems. If you bring it and put it in the cabinet, guys, that thing will call to you. Bella, Chris, Paul. It's just true. It's true. You can't put it in the cabinet. Get an accountability partner. If you don't have one of these, I've said it before. I don't know if you heard me the other time. Sometimes I say you got to hear something 7 times to hear it. Well, this is at least the second time you've heard it. I'll say it 5 more times at some point. Get an accountability partner, a true Christian, a true somebody who's truly seeking to follow Jesus Christ. Befriend them. Have phone conversations with them. Be able to talk about your struggles with them. Have somebody you can confide in that can strengthen you. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. And I'm afraid there's many people out there today that's just the iron. They don't have any more iron in their life to sharpen with. You need to pray that God would send you that person if you don't have it. It's an amazing thing, at least in my life. I'll attest to it. I have another iron to sharpen off of. I don't think about it. What do you tolerate today? What you tolerate today may control you tomorrow. Remember, sin does not attack violently at first. It seduces you slowly. And this last one can be a little tough. If something's consistently pulling you away from God, you need to stop protecting it. Okay. Deception and closeness to God are at risk if we do not set our minds to refuse to look from signs apart from God's Word. Deception and our proximity to God are what's at risk if we refuse to stop looking for signs. We need to stop saying, God, give me a sign, and instead, God, help me obey what you've already told me to do. God has already shown us His Word, His Son, the cross, the empty tomb, and He's given us His Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us to give us conviction, leadership, and guidance. How much more evidence do we need? I'm good. Stop building our faith on emotions, coincidences, experiences, and build our life on the unchanging Word of God. And if you're not a believer in here tonight, the greatest sign God ever gave was not a dream, was not a fable, was not a coincidence. God gave Himself in flesh to us, Jesus Christ, so that we could believe in Him, believe in His resurrection, and have eternal life. And that's available tonight if you've never done that. If you've believed in a sign all your life, tonight is time to believe in the only sign that has salvation, and that sign is Jesus Christ resurrected. Amen. In Matthew 12, 39 through 40, Jesus said the ultimate sign would be His resurrection. If you need another sign before obeying God, the problem is not evidence. The problem is surrender. And that is a perfect segue that I did not plan into Sunday. I've already requested the closing song. You know what it is? I surrender all.